Let's pray. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, because of who you are. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, because of the things you have done. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing care. Now, you are the head of the church. We're just here. But it so happened that you have called us out of darkness and put us in a place of honor, all of us. And I even read it in the bulletin of this church. We are all ministers. We have the privilege to minister to the world that is lost out there, living in darkness. And there's something new that you want them to know. And you want us to know. Now, as we walk in our Christian walk, Lord Jesus, we just ask you, would you send some extra encouragement? Would you send us some extra push, maybe? Something that would make us get up and get going? Something that would lift us up from eventually some dark place where we were sitting or maybe bound for whatever reason? Would you help us, Lord Jesus, to just be filled with your Holy Spirit again? Would you help us, Lord, to be filled with joy and an encouragement, Lord? We need your presence in our lives because it's so hard to live or try to live a Christian walk or a Christian life without your power, without your company, without your fellowship, without your presence, without your wisdom, without your power. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are building your church. We are a small, tiny little block in this huge building. But you want to use us. Oh, Lord, what a privilege that is. Thank you so very much. And Lord, as we are looking into expanding the kingdom, and we have to do that now more than ever before because we know that the time is indeed short. Your clock is ticking. We see all the advancements. We see all the things, Lord, that are happening in this world. We see the signs of the times. And more than ever before, Lord Jesus, we need your guidance specifically as to how, as to when, as to where. Help us, Lord. We pray this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about the cost of expansion. Could you put that first picture on there? That's from Acts chapter 5. And let me read it here really quick. We won't read the whole three chapters that are kind of assigned for this message here. But we want to read a couple of the texts here, a couple of verses. Acts chapter 5. This is what it says. You see, what's happening here, that the disciples, they were already kind of on fire for the Lord. This is the kind of the background. They were on fire for the Lord. They had all freshly, recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were all excited and they were all in this upper room and you was got all kind of get ready at this time. So they were all freshly baptized. And by now, they were not able to keep quiet anymore. By this point, they were, hey, where, how can we get rushed out? Because they were like, you know, they heard that message from Jesus. Hey, you know, if these people stop speaking, the stones will actually start speaking. So they figured that the gospel is too valuable to keep it for themselves by now. They had all this walk, this beautiful walk with the Lord Jesus for three and a half years. So they rushed out of the four walls of the upper room onto the streets. Now, talk about a street connection ministry, my brother. This is what we call the street connection. Everybody needed to hear this news. That was clear in their mind. They all have to go. So they went out, filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, and they went, share here, share there, share everywhere. And the apostles heal many. I want to read from verse 12, chapter 5, verses 12. It says this: the apostle performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them. And he passed by, as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, like, oh, we are talking here, Markham, Stouffville, and Pickery, Gormley, all these places. The crowds gathered all from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by evil spirits. And it's interesting, the text says, and all of them were healed. So, but then there is a cost. There is a cost. You know, when you are a successful person, and let's say all of us here somehow in some capacity, we are successful in some areas. Now, have you noticed that when you become successful, when all of a sudden your name gets up the list, you get a promotion, or get somewhere a little, where you're being looked upon by more people, and you get some success, you get a promotion, you get some extra money coming into you, and all of a sudden, hey, guess what happens? Not everybody likes the idea. Not everybody is happy with that. So much so that in the text that we're going to read here now, we read from verse 18. It says, let's read from verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. And you put up the next picture right there. They were filled with jealousy. How in the world are these people who are saying that they are somebody or are preaching the gospel that we were supposed to preach? It was our responsibility. We are the religious folks here. We are the ones that know this stuff. And all of a sudden, these people, they are bypassing our temple, our religious system, and are out there on the streets and doing the things that Jesus told all along we were supposed to do. And in fact, the Jewish people, we just learned that this morning, very well explained by Pastor Barry. About the fig tree. The fig tree that they were supposed to bring fruit had only leaves on it. The Lord just cursed it. You were the ones. You were the chosen ones that I wanted to have the world to know about who God is. See, God revealed himself, first of all, to the Jewish people. The Jewish people were the first ones. They received the revelation. They had the prophets. They had the word. They had Jesus himself was Jewish. And they were supposed to do in spreading out the good news all over the world. But they failed, and they failed miserably. And Jesus looked at that fig tree, which is clearly represented by the people of Israel. And, you should be doing it, and you didn't do it. You appeared to be nice, had nice leaves on it. And Jesus cursed that one tree. In fact, and the next day it was gone. Because they did not do what they were supposed to do. So the decision, first of all, success will trigger jealousy. They were filled with jealousy. Number two, the decision to expand the kingdom done in the Spirit. The decision to expand the kingdom in the Spirit through the fire. Not, you can do this whole thing, kingdom thing, like the Jewish people were doing. You can do it in the flesh. You can do it in the beef. As my brother, we used to say, it's all beef. It's flesh. You can do things in the flesh. You can try to expand the kingdom of God, which is a supernatural kingdom. You can do it in the flesh. And you keep it up as the appearance, as great success. Now, and the Jewish people, or the leaders, the Sadducees, and they all these people, they were trying to do the whole thing, kind of just taking advantage, ripping people off that were coming from far away by wanting to sacrifice in the temple. What were they doing? Well, like I said, you know, they could not bring their sheep or their goats from far away or their doves, so they would buy it there, and because they bought it there, the guys were just, you know, what's the word? They would be exploited by the people in the temple. And they were doing it by religious reasons or for religious reasons simply because there was no power of the Spirit involved. However, the disciples is a different story. As the decision in their hearts was struck by the Holy Spirit himself, they decided, okay, it's time to expand the kingdom. This is it now. So, number two, the decision to expand the kingdom done in the Spirit moves heaven. And now let's read what happened. The verse says in verse 18, let's read it. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. We're talking about cost here already. But during the night, the text says, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Have you ever been in jail? How many people have been in jail there? Nobody. I have been there many times. Oh, yeah. Well, I have been a jail ministry, so I visit every people. We had this ministry called Person to Person. Now, you're thinking that I'm an ex-convict. Well, yeah, I am. You know, praise the Lord. I'm glorified. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But these people, they went into jail. And because God saw in their heart a decision through by the Spirit to minister to people on the streets, doing the street connection thing, what happened? An angel comes there and brings them out. Now, and I'm not sure, you know, when you see some of those movies from the past, from the Old Testament even, you know, it's somewhere down in a dungeon somewhere. And you go through, I don't know how many sets of guards until you're actually out. Somehow, the angel of the Lord went in there, brought them out. The guards were standing at the door on each side somewhere, and they didn't notice a thing. In fact, the next morning, as they found out, you know, the doors are locked, the guards are standing in their place, everything is just perfect, but guess what? The guys were not there. They were gone. There is a heavenly intervention when you decide to move in the process of expanding the kingdom. So during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Moves heaven. Things that seem to be impossible happens. It's no different in a church today. You know, we are dealing with the same Holy Spirit, with the same God, with the same Lord Jesus as they did in the past. And let's not even think for a fraction of a second that his power has diminished, because it hasn't. The Lord's power is still the same. He still wants badly the same what he wanted before, which is winning the people. He loves the people. And he understands by now that because of the Holy Spirit that we have, we should be loving people by now.
Now, do we? Do we love the people? Do we really care about the people?
But the angel says to the disciples here, verse 20, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Go out there. Tell the people. And if the Lord senses that you are interested in doing that precise thing, he will help you, he will bring you, he will get you, arrange you some help. He will help you. He knows it's hard. He knows it's a fight. But he will manage, you know, release some of the angels in heaven and bring him right where you are. Prepare the situation and help you to win the people. And tell, like the angel said, you know, this is straight from heaven. This is actually straight from heaven. The angel comes and says, and tell the people all about this new life. Verse 21, at daybreak, they entered the temple courts, and as they had been told, and began to teach the people. You know, they simply could not stop. Hallelujah. They could not stop. So when the high priest and the associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. I say, here now we got all, you know, this, all these, the religious folks, the political correct people, all the good people, the ones that were standing maybe at the street corners and doing all kinds of prayers, you know. Oh, these are the holy ones. These are the good guys. Now, they were the ones that were overwhelmed with what was happening on the streets. All these religious folks, the finger pointers, the complainers, they got all united and told them, shut up! Can you believe that? Don't tell anybody. This is not your thing. This was our thing to do. Yeah, guess what? But they didn't do it. So they were insisting, don't speak, be quiet, keep it quiet, don't say anything. Hold it. But how could they? The angel of the Lord is telling, you know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How in the world could they stop? They couldn't. They were willing for the beating. You know, they were in for the beating. If you have to get a beating, well, so be it. All together, stop! But they didn't stop. So they called all the elders of Israel and sent them to the jail for the apostles. Verse 22, but on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. I just would want to see the, you know, the faces of those who went to check for them. The jail was locked and the guys were not in there. Explain that to me. If it wouldn't be for an angel of the Lord sneaking them through the bars. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Praise the Lord. So they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one. Oh, praise the Lord. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss. No wonder. Wondering what this might lead to. Moving heavens. Because they had made a decision to, in the spirit, move forward. Verse 25. Chapter 5 still. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. And they did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Now, here's something very interesting. They feared the people. They had seen a hunger in the people. Now, I want you to put the next picture on. The next one. There. How many of you were raised in a farm? A bunch of people. How many of you have ever fed or brought milk to a little calf? How many of you have tried, in the middle of the calf is drinking, tried to push the bucket off the you know, you will have a fight. Once they have tasted the milk, for you, I have tried myself, you know. You give the first calf, and I had some situation where I had to split up. I had only one bucket. So I will give half to one and then to the other. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. So they were tasting, they tasted the milk. And because it was so good, they didn't want to stop drinking. So were the people. The Pharisees or the Sadducees and all these people, they said, if we do something with them in public, the people are going to kill, they're going to stone us. They notice a hunger from the people. Now, if you think about this, you have no idea how many people are hungry for the word out there right now. Because they are, you know, yesterday, me and my wife, after the service here, we went out there, I think it's a little north, Home Depot. And I mean, you know, and there's so many houses on this side. And we noticed, you know, the house, they're all blocked, you know. There's one spot and people go in, shut the door, and then they are inside. But I tell you, I can almost guarantee in every house there is a struggle going on. There's a situation going on. There is a need for somebody to bring out some help. There might be struggle between children and parents. There might be struggle between marriage, husband and wife. There might be some type of struggle going on. There might be a financial struggle. There might be a professional struggle, but there are struggles out there. And it's so full with struggle. There's hunger. If they only knew that there is indeed a solution, people all of a sudden would listen. Verse 27, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, they said. We're talking the church people. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Yeah, now they're feeling guilty. Remember a story, a friend of ours, his father has a big company in Brazil, and then he would, at coffee break, he would go and have coffee at the kitchen. They have a kitchen, a big kitchen there, you know, that's just for the workers. And he is the son of the owner. And he would go in there and have coffee. In the end, after coffee, there were a bunch of people there. One of them would actually take the coffee mug and bring it to the sink. Now, the others were not doing that. The others were just, In fact, he got upset. Why are you doing this? Because it makes me feel guilty. I will have to do it too. See, you can see that in small things. Think about it in bigger things. But Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. You see, they would stop at nothing.
The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed. Now we are talking boldness here. By hanging him on a cross. You see the boldness, you see the courage, you see the power. Because they were really not working on the or in the flesh. They were working through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot produce any fruit in the kingdom of God unless it is spirit-driven. Now, does that mean you always have to be hyper and hallelujah and praise the Lord and jump around? No, no, no. You know? You can still be a traditional Christian in a traditional church like this. But I know one thing. If you prayed, if you have, because the Lord really looks at the intention of the heart. If you truly are willing to be obedient to the Lord when he tells you things to do things, you are doing his will. You will not always be 100%. You know, you will make mistakes. And by the way, the Lord is okay with your mistakes. It's like, you know, will you slap your child when he eats, you know, he is like a toddler, like maybe 2 years old or 1 year old. He has never used a spoon or something. And when he starts eating, he will mess up his face altogether with chocolates. And it's going to be just a big face like that. Will you beat him up just because he didn't do it right? Of course not. See, the Lord sees you. The Lord sees your heart. And that's what he wants to see. He wants to see your heart. If your heart is true, honest. If your heart is true, humble. The Lord is going to give you things to do. And you will do them. Not always perfectly. That's okay. But the Lord will use you as an instrument. You were spirit-driven. To do the things of the Lord. If you do it to show off, if you do it for political reasons or for whatever reason, and even if you get stressed by doing the things of the Lord, it's probably the Lord didn't even ask you to do certain things. You do it because you feel good about it. You do out of your leftover opportunity. You see, the Lord is looking for a full heart given over to him. A surrendered heart. A heart that is willing, Lord, I give up my things of things that I need to do, but I want to do your thing. Now, the Lord also does understand he has no problem if you have to do kitchen work, if you do have to do food work, if you have to do shopping, if you do have to do clothing and all these things that you need to buy. And that's all okay. The intention of the heart is where the Spirit has space to work in you. If he sees that you are willing, the Lord will bless you. And he will move heavens. Now, God exalted him, and that's what they say in verse 31. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior. And he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness, forgive their sin. We are witnesses of these things, by the way. You got to be a witness of these things. If you and I want to share something to somebody about the Christian faith, try not to speak out of second hand. What I'm saying with this, have your experience with the Lord and share your experience. See, God is not always telling everybody to be an evangelist. The Lord has called some people to be evangelists. That's okay. But still, you and I, we are called to testify, to give testimony of something that the Lord has done in my own and our own heart. Those are the things you want to share because they really mean something. This is what happened to me. This is what I read today. The expansion, number three here,
the expansion done in the spirit, it does also shake hell. It shakes heaven, but it also shakes hell. I wonder if there's a next picture there. In verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious because they were just speaking out boldly of the things they had said and of the things they had experienced with the Lord. And they were bold and courageous and they shared it with the people. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. So what's happening here is that you and I, when the enemy notices that you have decided in your heart to be obedient, you have decided in your heart to serve the Lord fully, the devil will have to give up on you. But he will be fuming. He will be enraged. And if he could, he would kill you right there. But remember, the devil, he's just a creation like you and me. God is the creator. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, the devil can touch us. Can I hear an amen? The devil cannot touch us. He can try, and see that, like I mentioned that even before you even here, the devil, the worst thing the devil can do is actually to kill you. But so what? Jesus can raise you up. So big deal what the devil can do. So they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Before here, during the expansion, during the heat of the harvest, the Lord protects his messengers. So they were about to kill him. But then in verse 34, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the man be put outside for a little while. Verse 35, then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, two disappeared, claiming to be somebody. And about 400 men rallied to him. But he was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas, the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. Verse 39, but if it is from God, hallelujah, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. If it is from God, you can't stop. If you are from God, I tell you right now, nobody can stop you. If you are in the mission for God, nobody can stop you. You can't be stopped. You see, church, the work of the Lord can't be stopped, and it won't be stopped. It has been on for 2,000 years, will continue until the last day, until the number of Gentiles have come in, and you will all, and we will be with the Lord. The devil tries to intimidate, to put barriers up, to hold us back, to keep us in our comfort zones. That's the work of the devil. But if you are on fire for the Lord And you might be asking, well, oh Lord, how in the world can I be on fire for you? How in the world can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How in the world can I be can I sense your move in my life? How? Start with humbling yourself. It's the easiest thing. Recognize, you know, we are a bunch of nobodies. We can't do anything out of ourselves. We need some higher level of support if we decide to work in the kingdom of God. If you work in the devil's kingdom, he's going to let you do whatever you want to do, and he won't stop you. You just go ahead, and he will just, keep on. But if you decide to work in the kingdom of God, it's a bit different ballgame altogether. So he protects his messengers. So the devil, again, if he can't stop you, he gets furious about you. And his speech persuaded them. So they called the apostles and had them flogged. So, and that goes back to the price that you pay. Well, you might, oh, I don't want to be flogged. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, we live in Canada. People are not flogged in Canada. Well, we know also that our freedoms in Canada are being slowly but steadily removed. We had a great message here on Friday with the Joy Group. This man, he works, is it John? Joel, yes. Yeah, I should remember Joel, right? A little song called Joel. And he was sharing, we are a ministry where we try to defend the rights of Christianity. A bunch of lawyers have come together and they go and defend the freedom of religion. Great ministry. Anyway, the apostles with their message shook hell. They literally woke up the devil and his kind. And it will be no different with us. Once we decide to go into the ministry in full, it's beyond just coming to church. It is bigger because the mission field is big. And you might think, well, but Lord, I don't know what I can do. See, I am already 75, or I'm 80, or I'm 85. What can I still do? Well, I tell you what. Can you pray? Can you pray for us? Can you pray for the church? Can you pray for the Christian people? Can you pray that a fire would break out? That's one thing you can do, even sitting in your living room. But the TV shut off, of course. But you can pray. You can fight mighty, mighty fights in your prayer. And I tell you, it is the prayer of the church which brings unity, which, by the way, tonight there is a prayer meeting here, I hear, has been canceled because of the weather. Okay, has been canceled, but you still can pray at home. You know, we don't want you. Sorry, we don't want you to, you know, be in danger in the roads too. That's true. You know, the Lord knows all things. He knows the intention of the heart. We had a prayer meeting scheduled. The Lord decided to cancel the prayer meeting somehow. So we will have that some other time. Is that just soon? Okay. But even, you know, you what was supposed to be, what time was it supposed to be? 7:30? 6:30? So here's what you do. 6:30 tonight. You still can pray in your home. Can you do that? You still can pray. And you pray, Lord Jesus, wake me up. Because I don't want to be just a regular Christian. I want to be a full-blown Christian.
but filled with the Holy Spirit that will actually make a difference in a place like Markham, Ontario, or Stouffville. So, would you put on the next picture, please? Being persecuted for the sake of Christ during the expansion will bring deep joy. If you get hit, if you get cursed, if somebody tells you something about your, or just lashes out on you because you are a Christian, or because you say certain things about the Bible and the guy is an atheist, deep, deep down, you know you did the right thing. Because you felt led by the Spirit as you said whatever you said, and you know, yes, I am being scratched here, but I was fulfilling the will of God. And in that is joy. In that you have joy. Great joy. You got a slap on your face. Praise be the name of the Lord. There can be joy in the midst of this hardship. Because for the disciples, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin. They're rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. See, the bigger the victory is, or the bigger the war is, the bigger the victory. Now, you know that people that win money in the lottery. Had a friend of ours back in Hague. He won $5 million. On the last day, he was retiring. The last day, last week, his wife and himself, and he was just a custodian in a local high school. It was his last week of retire. He won $5 million. I couldn't believe it. But he won this money. First thing, can't be true. So he went again and checked. Oh, man, these are my numbers. So he went to the gas station where he bought, and they put that machine in, and bang, 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 bang. Yeah, it was him. He won the $5 million. So he just said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. So he left, got in the car, went to his wife's job in a nursing home. She worked in a nursing home cleaning beds, and she was also in the last week of before the retirement. He said, my wife, we have won the lottery. We won $5 million. Now, he was a member of our church, but not really a participant. He was just, his name was on the list. Great man, fine man. After we had coffee with him and all good. And I asked him in one of the coffee times, okay, what's going to happen? He said, my life will not change. I'll try to keep it the same way. But if you have $5 million in the bank, it's going to be a little harder for you to keep the same. You are not the same anymore. And the value that you give on that part of the money is not the same as the value that you give on your hard-working money. Most of the people have won millions of dollars in the lottery, and they are unhappy as they can be. And they wish they would have even never won because it's too much trouble. And all this to say that you don't value that much anymore. The money that you have, it's just... But if you have earned your dollar working hard, you value that money. Because that's what you worked hard, you sweat for it. The same way in the kingdom of God. Once you work hard for the kingdom of God, the victory in the end will have so much of a better taste. See, the Lord doesn't want it for us. Yeah, it came, the whole gospel thing came free for us. But guess what? the value that you will give once you get there, the sweat you had during these years that you lived as a Christian, your hard work, your honesty, your desire to fulfill the Lord's will, your obedience to the Lord, it will pay off. If you would have got it just free like that, yeah, whatever, yeah, I'm going to live wildly anyway, when I got the gospel and I was saved, okay, I got my insurance, my life insurance guaranteed, so now I can live. You're going to get up there, if you get up there. What will you think? See, for somehow the Lord wants us to value the gospel. They were joyful because they counted worthy of suffering of disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts in the house. I'm almost done here. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Number six, last one here. The expansion brings results. And it actually forced them to be organized. This is in Africa. A pastor, missionary called Reinhard Bonnke. He would bring up to over 1 million people in a place. And he would make an altar call. And sometimes the altar call, because he had the speaker phones all over the field, he would buy like a 60-acre field, big place. And he would pack them with people. And when I would an altar call, it was so far, the people from the back, they would come with a bus to the front, to the altar. That's how many people. And we're talking results. Powerful man of God, Reinhard Bonnke. And of course, the people in white, these are all deacons, helpers. They had to be there and pray for people. It's the same. When the Lord is about to bring in a harvest, the church people will get organized. You know that if you are about to harvest, my dad, for example, he has a farm himself. What he does before the harvest, the whole thing gets a little faster. It speeds up on the yard. And if he looks at the harvest, it's about to come in, man, this looks pretty good. He goes to the city, he buys another tractor, new equipment or something. And he would just rejoice when the new machine was unloaded on the yard. Great joy. Because it's excitement for the harvest. He was getting organized. And so it is with the church. If the harvest is about to come in, the church will get organized. And that's why we have the deacons, we have the elders, and we have the prayer warriors in place. We have people of all colors and shapes praying and ready. When the people come, we want to be ready to receive them. Because the Lord wants us to be ready. In chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. In other words, establishment of deacons, establishment of people, of leaders that were ready as the people came in. Shall we pray? God, I know that there is so much more to be said, but we do pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and our minds with the things of the kingdom. If we have wandered too far off, but Lord, not too far and not to listen. We still listen. So we pray, Lord Jesus, bring us together as church. Strengthen us more than ever before, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you, Lord, for every single person that has poured out their lives in working in the kingdom right here at Markham Missionary Church over the generations. Lord, we want to thank you for those who have kept faith through the trials. And I see many of those here today. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have helped every single one all the time, through the difficult times and through the joyful times and even through the successful times. You have been there. But Lord, we want to thank you that you have given us a field. A field where we can win the thousands. And if you have to have a second service or a third service, that's fine. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. And I know, Lord Jesus, before we actually can do anything, Lord Jesus, we need to be fixed. There are things in our lives, Lord, that has held us back over the years. Maybe we have some preferred and or hidden sin in our lives, and we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to move fully in us. Maybe we have been trying to go after our own interests in whatever matter in the church. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us and that you would forgive us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would become sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And as we are starting to move and move faster, Lord, we know that heavens will be open in this place. And you will send the angels to assist us, to help us. And to you, devil, I tell you right now, you take your filthy hands, your filthy demons out of this place in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Get out! And Holy Spirit, I know you have sealed us. You have stamped us with the holy seal. Nobody can be ripped out of your hands. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, and fill us, Lord, this morning. And as we go out in this week, in whatever capacity and whatever we need to do, Lord, help us, Lord, fill or make us our face shine. Somehow, Lord Jesus, fill us with your glory that wherever we go, we will leave a track of glory behind us. That your name would be praised and glorified. To the honor of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and of God the Father. And we do pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord Jesus a big hand right now. Woo! Hallelujah. Do we have a song to sing? We're done.